Welcome back to the show. Doing another fun special with some BFFs. Elise's back. Say hi.
Hi, guys.
So I wanted an excuse to talk about Emilio Estevez, and she wanted an excuse to talk about Tom Cruise. So I figured, you know, let's just bring up members who are kind of generally considered to be part of the Brat Pack. And so it was a play, of course, on the Rat Pack, you know, from Sammy Davis and Dean Martin and company. But during the 80s and 90s, and started with John Hughes, Breakfast Club, and St. Elmo's Fire. But it is very questionable because there's just so many other people who kind of consider themselves members. But it's a question, is it just because they were dating each other or just in each other's movies later on? It's very questionable.
It could have been a little bit of both.
It really is, because it's like, so the main members, you know, like Andrew McCarthy, I'm sorry, he's definitely a member. He doesn't consider himself one, but he has to be. I mean, he's in Pretty in Pink and St. Elmo's Fire. Oh, that counts.
yeah, definitely.
And same kind of trajectory where, you know, they all do A-list stuff, then B-list, D-list stuff for TV, and then do a bunch of directing for TV. So it was like, yeah, same pretty much career path. So the main members are also, you know, besides Estevez and McCarthy, and you got Ally Sheedy, Molly Ringwald, Jen Nelson, Demi Moore, Rob Lowe, and Anthony Michael Hall. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm sorry. Other people who they always find questionable is like, yeah, I always thought it began with The Outsiders, but most people claim Breakfast Club is the one that started it all. So I'm like, yeah, it's a bit of everything.
Yeah, culture, things like that always make it interesting because it just changes depending on who's watching what.
All right. They mentioned Jamie Gerd, so I was like, yeah, that's fair. She's kind of in later stuff. I could have sworn Lou Diamond Phillips was loosely connected on here at one point or another. But I don't know why James Spader isn't considered part of this. I mean, it's like...
Really? I know, right?
He's in Weird Science. That has to count for something. But yeah, whatever. John Cusack, I could have sworn was on the list at one point, but he and his sister Joan are kind of considered loose. And I mean, I'm sorry. I watched... So which of their movies do you think you watched the most of just growing up, being the theater professional that you were? And
that's a hard choice.
I definitely saw the shit out of Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I have, you know, it was a DVD, so I didn't wear it out, but I mean, I definitely saw the shit out of it.
True. That is a good one.
I mean, so questionable.
To be honest, I do have a soft spot for Breakfast Club, but I kind of want to say Pretty in Pink.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's kind of the big follow-up, and everyone remembers just the outrageous end fight scene and just the other just supporting characters, so it's kind of more of a who's who of, you know, every part of this. I would have sworn Eric Stoltz or, you know, Mary Stuart Masterson's on here, but, I mean, it's like, I would have sworn Eric Stoltz or some of these other people would have been part of this club, but hey, Sean Penn's kind of connected, and... Kevin Bacon, I didn't think of, but I'm like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. He's in She's Got a Bit, having a baby. So.
Well, you know, the whole thing with theater is 7 points to Kevin Bacon.
Right. So there you go.
Separation to Kevin Bacon. So everything ends up at Kevin Bacon.
Eventually, he will find his way there, even if he doesn't want to. But yeah, I always considered C. Thomas Howell, you know, Pony Boy, to be part of that club, and especially Matt Dillon. Yeah, they were mainly just in other movies later on with McCarthy and Rob Lowe. So I was like, yeah, whatever. That's what it is. It's just kind of funny, though, how Psych, I know you watched the TV show Psych, it's just so funny how they would do on an, like, loose Breakfast Club reunion. So it's like, let's get Ally Sheedy, let's get Jen Nelson, let's get Ringwald.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, C. Thomas Howell was on there once, and that was a really funny episode. Ralph Macchio, I don't really consider him part of it, even though he is part of the... It's only fair since he is one of the outsiders.
True.
He kind of wasn't in it all that long after Karate Kid. He just kind of gave up acting, and then, you know, everyone said come back, and so now you got Cobra Kai.
Well, that's a lot. That happens a lot, though. I mean, it is Hollywood. People have their big moments, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's a great thing that I was in.
Right.
You know, I was in these other things, right? No?
Mm-hmm. Right. All this hard work, I gave my best performance, and then, nope, no one said a thing.
Yep, they always go to this other thing. Jeez.
Kiefer Sutherland, I think, is a decent pick. It just seems like no one really considers him much. He's just like the cousin or bastard brother.
Hey, you know, cousins that get removed from the family still come back every once in a while.
And yeah, there you go. Are we going to talk about Emilio's defense? Or are we going to talk about his uncle, Joe, who's in all these other B movies? Oh, God, that's great. But he has kind of a similar trajectory, kind of like C. Thomas Howell and Rob Lowe, where he's, you know, he'd always kind of steal the show in like a supporting role and then just be in all these other slashers or road trip movies. And so it's like, yeah, it is what it is. They all had similar trajectories, but like you say, their best work came out in the 80s and you just can't top it. It's just the material is too good. I don't see how anyone could not consider Robert Downey part of that pack, though. Like, that's just... It's just weird to me. Yeah, he's not an outsider, but I mean, he's in most of the other John Hughes movies.
We'll return after these messages.
Hello and welcome to Culture Shocked, the pop culture podcast brought to you by four aging millennials and our outdated opinions. Join us every Tuesday as we discuss movies, TV, games, and even music, new and old.
Dude, what do you think you're doing?
Are you seriously trying to record a promo without us right now?
Well, yeah.
Dude, you can't just do the promo by yourself. Who's going to listen to that?
Yeah, and you probably haven't even told them that we're a pop culture podcast where we always agree on everything. For instance, the Sam Raimi trilogy easily being the best of the Spider-Man movies.
No. But I think we can all agree that Jaws is a classical masterpiece.
Nope, don't like that. But we do all agree that the sequel trilogy of Star Wars is the best in the Skywalker saga, right, guys?
That comment is so ridiculous. I don't even know where to...
Anyways, that'll do it from all of us here at Culture Shock. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide all across the globe. We are in the US. We are in the UK. We are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
True.
And my parents were big fans of Less Than Zero, even though a lot of people love to mock it. There's like, that was just other people's introduction to Robert Downey at that time.
True.
What do you think it is that just made them all just kind of sparkle on screen? Just made them all just so comfortable around each other and have a certain
chemistry. chemistry. I mean, you can't have such a wonderful thing working together and not have chemistry together.
Totally. And I see other people doing plays on this, like the Frat Pack, which is referring to all the people who were in high-grossing comedies. I think that's just a bastardization of this. This is like, this was a big deal, because, I mean, these were, people were complaining about the lack of icons in the 80s. It's like, these guys became their own cult icons. You know, they were critic-proof. People loved them.
True.
And it's just like, Patrick Swayze, you know, he gets looped into here just because of his connection to Red Dawn and The Outsiders, even though he wasn't a Brad anymore. But in a way, I think he kind of fathered them a bit. Definitely him and Jennifer Grey. It was like, just, everyone just told each other, hey, just, you know, don't argue with the director and, you know, show up on time, be the cool kid.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes some actors and actresses don't get that. And they kind of, you know, do their thing, and then once they piss off the wrong person, it's downhill from there.
Totally. Oh, man. And it is wild how many of them just had just great, great shows that got them back into the limelight, and everyone had, that basically, like you said, reminded everyone, yeah, I can act.
Yeah, remember, I did these things that y'all wouldn't shut up about, and then I left the limelight because I needed to find myself, and now I'm back.
Right. Oh, man. And, I mean, I watched the hell out of the movie Young Guns, and that often got parodied as, you know, High Noon meets the Rat Pack. I'm like, it's so much more than that. Like, these guys were made to play that modern-day Western. But, you know, and then when you get to TV shows, it's like, I can understand why someone wanted to cast Anthony Michael Hall in The Dead Zone, and Rob Lowe got what he got with The West Wing and later Parks and Rec. I just, they, again, they're used to being part of an ensemble.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Working with something so, with so many people, and having someone be the linchpin that kind of brings it all together, definitely.
Totally. Ringwald, I can't blame her for just kind of taking time off and just doing her own kind of thing, because she's just like, yeah, I'm going to be a mom. And I'll come back when you give me actual material. It's worth you and my time.
I mean, that's the good thing about Hollywood slowly changing things up a little bit, for at least to an extent, the better. That some actors and actresses who left the limelight, like, y'all have gotten better. I think I might come back.
Yeah, it's died down a bit. I can do it. Yeah. Emilio, I applaud him for deciding, you know, I'm going to just go ahead and just direct. I just have all these, I know how to organize myself and do more than just have my father just star as my dad in the movie. I'll just tell some important kind of activism stories that no one else is talking about.
True, true. Yeah.
I think a lot of his movies really are underrated, because even if I haven't found them 100%, you know, great or anything, they're still just very, it's like no one else was making those kinds of movies.
And some of those need to be made. Sometimes some stories need to be told, even no one else wants to listen.
Mm-hmm. And it just gets depressing, because, you know, we see so many other people who we know and love, and they'll do a movie with their friends in like Atlanta or North Carolina or what have you, and you're like, it's kind of junky. They clearly had a lot of fun watching it. Their commentary track has to be more entertaining than the movie itself. And here, these guys occasionally do want to tell something just dramatically rewarding that's not just, you know,
I mean, that's kind of how the what was it, the science mystery 2000 or whatever it was, where they made fun and talked about the movie while the movie is going.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Mystery Science Theater. Yeah, yeah, that's totally it. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that was basically their career, make a low-budget puppet show. That's.
Oh. Hey, it came back for a little bit there, too.
It's coming back later this month. It's season 13. They have their Gizmoplex app where you can watch every single episode.
Nice.
That they can still acquire. There's the Godzilla ones they'll never be able to put on there just because those copyright owners are not good sports. But yeah, they'll be producing new episodes from there in addition to having every episode on there commercial free for the most part. So
that's always a good thing.
Oh yeah. So I guess out of all these celebs, I guess I'm just really disappointed that McCarthy, Sheedy, and even Demi Moore just kind of get less roles to work with. And it just seemed like their just personas just were just so much bigger off screen. So that kind of worked against them, but it's just so dumb because I think Disclosure and G.I. Jane and Few Good Men are just great movies.
Oh, I love the hell out of G.I. Jane.
I know. And it's an inspirational movie. And and About Last Night and St. Elmo's Fire, I still think are decent. But yeah, it's just like, she was even in a Western with Kiefer not too long ago. But I think that's just it. Everyone was just paying attention to her personal life. And it's like, it's not fair.
Well, true. And society is slowly trying to move away from the whole women staying at home, women and or women being workaholics. And we're slowly finding out that women can be work and moms without overextending themselves.
Yeah. And post Me Too, I think we have been able to flesh out a lot of the, you know, jerk producers who were just, you know, stopping all this creative process and killing a lot of the chemistry in the workplace, you know?
Yeah.
Oh. Overall, I mean, I can't say that they haven't had their moment in the sun.
True. Can't say that.
And I don't think any of them are ungrateful. I've never heard any rude stories about any of them. As far as I got was just that Judd Nelson pissed some of the guys on because he was kind of method actor, but I think he came around slowly. He's like, okay, now I'm getting roles where I'm playing a psycho. I don't want that, so I better chill. Yeah.
Definitely, if it's not something that you want to play and you start realizing that you're playing that role a lot, and then you're realizing, oh, so I was the a-hole, and I should change and get out of these roles.
I've seen him in so many B pictures where he just shows up playing a detective or say as mad scientist and something stupid. And I was like, oh, Judd, I'll always love The Breakfast Club. I don't know why you're in this awful movie. It's wild, though, how some of them will just show up and it takes everyone a minute. And since with TV now is like there are some people who, again, only known from their late 90s, early 2000s work versus the 80s work. So there's, it's kind of fun. It's like, you'll see your parents kind of light up, say, oh, that's so-and-so. I mean, while you're like, oh, but I know him from this and that. So.
Yeah. And it helps bridge a gap that used to be there between parents and children.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It just seemed for a while like, we were getting it even with some of the superhero movies and their blockbusters. It's like everyone knows these guys from different things. It's like, well, now they're going to play these characters for six different movies. So, I mean, better get, especially Robert Downey. It's like,
oh, yeah.
Better get used to it. Leah Thompson, you know, she had Back to the Future and she's been doing a lot of TV stuff, but she was another cool cat. And I know she does, appears at a lot of conventions now. And Sean Penn, political activist and outspoken jerk as he's known to be, you know, still a damn good actor. Oh. And I mean, if anything, they may very well just do a fun just reunion one of these days.
True. There's been a lot of reunion shows coming back for, you know, an hour special, trying to get things getting together so they can talk about their movies and stuff. So wouldn't put it past anybody to not put a reunion thing for any types of big group movies.
Totally. Oh. Well, and James Spader, I also got to applaud. I mean, just navigating the world of TV, he did a bunch of unusual indie films and psycho thrillers, and then, you know, you know, Boston Legal back to back with the latter seasons of The Office. Now he's got The Blacklist. A lot of people would say, oh, I can't stand that show. I'm going to keep watching because he's the main star. He's stealing the show.
Yeah.
So basically, I guess all these guys are basically at the third, maybe the approaching the fourth stage of their careers, especially Cusack and Matt Dillon.
Yeah, definitely.
John Cryer is just kind of interesting because he's like immortalized by Pretty in Pink and all these other side projects, but he kind of post sitcom level is kind of where he's associated with now. So it's weird. Oh, well. So, out of all of them, who would you say is your MVP? If you had to pick one, only one.
That really would be hard. But I do have a small crush on Matt Dillon, so.
There you go with Estevez, Moore, even Spader. We haven't really talked too much about Charlie Sheen, but I mean.
Yeah.
Charlie's kind of his own person.
That line where you find out you're the asshole and.
Yeah.
You either say F it and keep it going or you reel it back.
Charlie's definitely the party bunch. He's kind of known for more just doing cameos in their movies when he's not partying off screen with them. So. He kind of became just, I'm playing Charlie Sheen, especially when it got to, Two and a Half Men, where it's like, yeah, now I'm playing Charlie, I don't care. And you shouldn't care. We're all here to get rich. Cocaine does that sometimes. God, so, gotta pick one. Yeah, I'm going with Estevez.
Fair enough.
Very likable, then becomes a director. Like you, McCarthy, but there are some of his later performances, and to be fair, some of the material wasn't good, where I'm just like, oh, come on, Andrew, we can do better. It's kind of a whiny voice you chose. Patrick Swayze was kind of my BFF growing up, but again, his relationship is kind of questionable. But
oh, yeah.
He is a boss. He is an absolute boss. And I mean, I was reading the Outsiders in school, I'll never forget, and I found out he was playing Jerry. I'm like, it kind of makes sense. He's kind of a beefcake. Well, thank you ever so much for doing this fun, quick episode. Where can we find you? Where can we find you on the interwebs, and what are you doing in the world of makeup?
I have a few little project movies documentary short kind of thing in August that I was asked to do, and recently I got asked to do a photo shoot for a Day of the Dead makeup
Awesome, nice.
So yeah, but finding me on the internet, I'm kind of a little hard because I don't have a lot of my regular makeup stuff going up every once in a while. It's mostly just work related. So when I get makeup stuff done, I post it on my Facebook, but it's not a lot. I'm still working on getting better. And right now, my idea is just trying to see and work on this cosplay I have in production and hope it's finished by Akon.
Totally. And, you're just always an MVP when it just great spirits and everything. Every film set I've worked with you on, and I've been on so many film sets where I see just every kind of person, the grips, cinematographer, even just like assistants talking smack about makeup. I'm like, no. It's one thing that does not fly. Don't do that. It's like, however long it takes,
Oh yeah. You can't necessarily cut corners on certain things. You can't.
Yeah. It's just as important as the set design and the intention and tone,
Yeah.
a lesser acting take, that can be forgiven because, you know, it's just, you know, it is what it is. But it, yeah, I would see so many other people just smack talk. I'm like, you know, we don't have to film with this high resolution camera.
True.
We can go for a home video look and say that's part of the gimmick. Oh, God. People need to learn some manners, man. Especially on indie film. There's really no place for smack talk there.
What, you maybe have an agent or something? So if you have an agent, why are you doing the film with us?
Right. I expect better. Oh, all right. I'll let the door hit you on the ass on the way out. Oh, God. Well, I'm going to keep avoiding those trolls, and I'm glad you're having a great experience, too. So,
yeah, cheers. Definitely. I mean, those jerks, they'll learn one day or another. You can't cut in, you know, theater and movies are a small niche community, whether you think so or not.
Yeah, where it'll get around.
Remember you being an a-hole, and then you'll slowly start realizing that those people know other people and they recommend you.
Mm-hmm. you show how bad you are, you make them look bad. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, Godspeed to you.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. This was a fun, quick episode to do.
Awesome.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.